Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. The East Abbotville Church of Christ will be assembling this evening at 7 for a period of Bible study. We urge you to come, bring only your Bibles, and visit with us. If you're completely incapable to attend, log on to eastabbotville.org, and there you can see and hear the services, as well as on the church's YouTube channel and the church's Facebook page. Keep these things in mind this evening at 7. You know, without question, the crucifixion of Jesus was a terrible event. It was an excruciating and painful way to die, which Jesus was willing to accept without taking anything that would numb the pain. We read about that in Matthew's account in Matthew 27, verses 32 through 35. Also, we read in verses 36 through 44 that it was a shameful way to die, and he was mocked by those that watched, and he was crucified with common thieves. And also, along with the physical suffering, there was the spiritual agony. Matthew mentions this in Matthew 27, verses 45 through 50. While there may be a place for contemplating upon the actual physical agony that Jesus endured, Jesus did not want people to weep for him, but to weep for themselves. This we read in Luke 23, verses 27 to 31. And while on the cross, his concern was for others, and that was evident. In Luke 23, we read in verse 34, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So the purpose of the cross and the crucifixion was not just to engender pity for Jesus. The significance and the lessons to be learned from the cross go far beyond feeling sorry that Jesus suffered. For example, we should never forget that the cross that Christ bore is the condemnation of sinner. Jesus died because of sinner. As foretold, he died for our sins. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." It was Isaiah that prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 5, beginning, "For he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Christ gave himself for our sins. It's in Galatians 1 and verse 4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." He bore our sins on the cross. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." So may the thought of the cross remind us of our own sinfulness and the need for redemption. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Jesus condemned sin. He condemned sin in the flesh through his death. In Romans 8 and verse 3, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." So he's now made it possible for sinners to destroy their own body of sin when they unite with him by baptism into his death. In Romans chapter 6, here's what we read beginning with verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So may the thought of the cross remind us of our duty to crucify the sinful passions of the flesh. Galatians 5 verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. To motivate us in our efforts to let Christ's death help us deal with the problems of sin, we should also remember that the cross that Christ bore is the revelation of love. Jesus died because of love, the love of the Father for the lost world. John 3:16. Who can't quote that verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But Jesus died also because of his own love. In Ephesians 5 and verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. May our contemplation of the cross never neglect the love that was behind the act. In 1 John chapter 4, it's in verse 9 that we find, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus thereby demonstrated what true love is. And we now understand the meaning of true love. In 1 John 3 and verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In John 15 and verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. His love is to serve as a pattern for our love. In John 13 verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And it's in John 15 and verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So may our contemplation of the cross remind us of the high standard of love that we are called to show toward one another. Again, 1 John 4 verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So as we strive to overcome sin and to love one another, as we are assisted and as we are motivated by the death of Jesus on the cross, we also need to be mindful that the cross Christ bore is the redemption of the world. Jesus died for all, and God's desire is for all men to be saved and not for any to perish. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Also, Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so therefore, God offered Jesus as a propitiation for all. In 1 John 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So, meditation upon the cross includes thinking about the needs of others. Jesus is the world's only hope. He's the only way to the Father. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so it's only in his name that salvation can be found. In Acts 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So to deny the Son, one does not have the Father. In 1 John 2, we read in verse 23, "Whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." And we must, as John said in 2 John verse 9, we must abide in his doctrine. If we do, then we have both the Father and the Son. "Whosoever transgresseth and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, but whoso abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." So may our meditation upon the cross move us to do what we can to proclaim the message of redemption to those that are lost in sin. So then, we see in all of these things the cross that Christ bore. And there's certainly more that could be said about the cross that Christ bore. But I hope that these few things will increase our appreciation of this very significant event. His cross is the condemnation of sin. His cross is the revelation of love. His cross is the redemption of the world. Now we ask the question, have you taken advantage of what the Christ bore on the cross? Have you taken advantage of what that means for you? Have you been crucified with Christ? Are you put into death the deeds of the flesh? Are you growing in love? Are you inspired in your service to your brethren and the lost by the example of Jesus' sacrifice? You know, in the words of the Apostle Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." See, Jesus provides the example of sacrifice. His death demonstrates the mind of humility. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and beginning, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, lest each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You see, his suffering demonstrated the example of suffering patiently. Peter speaks of this in 1 Peter 2, when he says in verse 20, "For what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. May our reflection on the cross move us to consider what his sacrifice should inspire us to do. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow, and it's only then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.